From the Triangle Radio Reading Service, the content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the December 2010 issue of ESPN Rise and an article from the January 2011 issue of Boys Life. Our first article is entitled Game On. It's on page 4. Ready for some Gruden? There are plenty of ways to be involved in sports, especially in football, and John Gruden has experienced just about every one of them. Player? Yep. Coach? A Super Bowl winner with Tampa Bay? In fact, broadcaster? You can find him in the booth every week for Monday Night Football. He's the highly quotable guy who never seemed to run out of energy. You can't miss him. John Gruden went to high school in South Bend, Indiana, because his father was an assistant coach at Notre Dame. He was the starting quarterback at Clay, but was under no illusions of grandeur. We were about 500. I wasn't a great quarterback. I wasn't all-conference or anything, Gruden says. But I had one moment of glory against Mishawaka High School when me and my friend hooked up 4 times for touchdowns. We had a little article in the paper. I still have it in a frame. Even though he realized he'd never be suiting up at quarterback for the Fighting Irish, playing in their backyard did have its perks. Friday nights, Notre Dame would have a pep rally on campus, and after the pep rally, my dad would bring some players with him to watch me play, he says. That's when I got fired up the most, looking up and there and seeing my idols watching me play. Gruden was named Oakland's head coach at 35 years old in 1998. He became coach of the Buccaneers in 2002 and won Super Bowl 37 his first year. Known as an offensive guru, Gruden offers up his number one piece of advice for improving on the offensive side of the ball. Learn as much about defenses as you can, he says. Learn what a cover two is, what a cover three is, and so on. What are the strengths and weaknesses of certain defenses? Be able to recognize what you're going up against. When he joined the Monday Night Football broadcast team in 2009, Gruden was more nervous than he'd been on Super Bowl Sunday. It's live, which was scary, he says, and I'm not actually the smartest guy, so I just didn't want to screw it up. Now let's go to Ask Rise, page 6. And here there's a picture of a young man. Looks like he's about to shoot a jump shot. Let's find out. With basketball season in full swing, ESPNRise.com is the place to be. For help with your vertical checkout, can he dunk? At ESPNRise.com/dunk. But we're about a lot more than hoops. No matter what you want to know, you'll find it in our website. Here are some of the best questions our readers had. You ask, how can I improve my free throw percentage? Answers. There are 3 things you can do. First, develop a ritual. Do the same thing every time you take a free throw. Second, say a simple phrase to yourself at the line like, bend your knees, to ensure you stay consistent and calm. And finally, visualize the ball going in before you shoot it. You ask, how can I get better at running distance if I'm a short distance runner? Answers. Increase your mileage gradually, about 10 to 15% more per week, and vary your runs. Do a short run at a fast pace, then a mid-length run at a medium pace, and then one long run. You ask, how do I get noticed by college lacrosse coaches if I'm in a non-traditional area like Florida? Answers, camps, camps, camps. Make sure you hit up some summer lacrosse camps and invitational tournaments. Camps run by colleges you're interested in are always a good bet as well. And check out ESPNRise.com/recruiting for more information. You ask, how do I pitch a lot and not tear up my elbow? Answers, a key will be to long toss on days you're not pitching. This helps build strength, and if you can work your way to throw between 200 to 250 feet, you'll be in good shape. Ask an expert. What are the three foods I should be eating every day? Whole grains, lean protein, and fruits and vegetables should be a mainstay of any athlete's daily diet. This will ensure consumption of the necessary carbohydrate, protein, vitamins, and minerals that are essential for providing energy to perform and the nutritional building blocks needed to positively adapt to daily training. Whole grain cereal with low-fat milk at breakfast, an apple with lunch, and broccoli with dinner are good examples of three foods that could be eaten almost every day. What foods make up the perfect pregame meal? Eating foods high in easily digested carbohydrate make up the perfect pregame meal. Carbohydrate is the primary fuel for exercising muscle, so eating simple carbohydrate foods will ensure that the muscle and liver are stocked up with energy and blood glucose levels are maintained during the game so you can go longer and stronger. A bagel with honey or jam, an energy or sports bar, applesauce or liquid carbohydrate forms are ideal ways to fuel up before a game. What food should I avoid before a game? Avoid foods high in protein and fat because they take longer to digest. For example, eating a high-fat, high-protein meal like a hamburger, fries, and a milkshake. Consuming such a meal even a couple of hours before a game could result in an upset stomach because a portion of that food will still be in the stomach at the start of the game. Other high-protein, high-fat foods to avoid include fried chicken and sandwiches loaded with cheese or spread such as mayonnaise. Although fiber is an important part of a balanced diet, it's best not to consume high-fiber foods immediately prior to a game because they can cause the sensation of bloating. Examples of high-fiber foods are bran cereal, beans, and brown rice. Next, Got Game, page 18 and 19. Dom Pointer, Quality Education, Basketball. As if St. John's didn't already have a stacked recruiting class, the Red Storm added a fourth top prospect with Pointer's fall commitment. Ranked number 55 in the ESPN U 100, the senior is known for his fierce rebounding and defensive abilities. While playing alongside Quincy Miller, number 4 in ESPN 100, the swingman averaged 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 steals last winter. But with Miller now at Westchester Country Day, Quality Education coach Isaac Pitts expects an even bigger year from Pointer. "I think he'll easily average 20 a game for us," Pitts says. "He's a special player and never takes a play off. He just plays the right way." Harrison Honeycutt, Lake Norman, Wrestling. Honeycutt took his lumps 3 seasons ago, finishing 5th at the state tournament and winning just 1 match in his first appearance at the Cadet and Junior Nationals in Fargo, North Dakota. Since then, he's been on a tear. Entering his senior campaign, Honeycutt has won 104 consecutive matches, capping the 189 state title at the 3A level as a sophomore before taking the crown at 215 among 4A competition last season. The North Carolina State commit has redeemed himself at Cadet and Junior Nationals, earning All-American honors 3 times. Obviously, Honeycutt only gets better with time, leaving much to be anticipated this winter. Deshaun White, Asheville, Track and Field. There is no doubt that White has a knack for rising to the occasion. After finishing 2nd at the triple jump at last season's indoor state meet, he posted a leap of 48.4 at the 3A Outdoor Championship to win gold, improving on his previous best by nearly 2 feet. The Asheville senior then went out this summer and jumped a 46.3 to finish 16th at the prestigious New Balance Outdoor Nationals. All signs point to continued success for White, who ran with the cross-country team this fall to stay in shape. We scour the state of North Carolina from Asheville to the Outer Banks and Greensboro to Wilmington to find the best athletes in performances. So if you're featured below, you can be sure of one thing. You've definitely got game. Here's a few more. Colin Campbell, Person, Wrestling. Campbell has come a long way in a hurry since picking up wrestling as a freshman. Thanks to continued practice with the Okachan Wrestling Club, Campbell was able to earn All-American honors at the 2009 Cadet and Junior Nationals in Fargo, North Dakota, in the Greco-Roman division, despite having never competed in a Greco-Roman match prior to that. The 285-pound rode this wave into his junior year, going undefeated and not giving up a single point in the 4A state tournament, en route to the heavyweight title. This summer brought more success for Campbell, who earned All-American status in the freestyle division during a return trip to Fargo. Tyree Massey, Overhills, football. In an October 22nd contest against Westover, Massey was a one-man wrecking crew. The senior tailback ran for 241 yards and 7 touchdowns to push the Jaguars to a 46-21 victory. It only took 2 quarters for Massey to gain 216 yards and hit pay dirt 5 times, setting the tone for what would be a record night. Scoring on runs of 47, 5, 67, 71, 5, 9, and 13 yards. Massey's 7 touchdowns tied him for the second most in the North Carolina High School's Athletic Association history for one game. Michael Massardo, Charlotte Latin, baseball. It was an up-and-down fall season for Massardo, to say the least. In September, the junior shortstop committed to play baseball for UNC following a solid first 2 years at Charlotte Latin. Last season, he was named the team's most outstanding offensive player and overall MVP. But Massardo's focus turned to his health in October when he tore his ACL while playing with the football team. Fortunately, at press time, he was expected to make a full recovery and could make it back for baseball season. The Hawks sure hope so. Massardo has a career batting average of .362 to go with 7 home runs and 36 stolen bases in the last 2 seasons. And now a quick study, pages 25 through 28. And has a picture here of 6'1" senior Jarrett Samuels. Whether it's something as small as making up ground in a relay race or as big as becoming the nation's top long jumper, Vance's Jarrett Samuels always knows exactly how to get the job done. As Jarrett Samuels waited to run the anchor leg of the 4x400 relay at last season's Class 4A outdoor track and field state meet, he could have panicked, and maybe he should have. His Vance team clung to a slim lead entering the final event, but second-place Southeast Raleigh appeared on its way to winning the all-important relay and making up enough ground to take the team title as well. It was up to Samuels, who had already competed in 3 events at the meet, to close the gap. But Samuels didn't have time to clutter his mind with thoughts of pressure or fatigue. He was doing math. Just before I got the baton, we were in the 6th, so I was trying to add in my head and see how many points we needed to stay in first, Samuel says. I figured if I made my move and got to 3rd, we'd be fine. I didn't feel any pressure. I wasn't going to let us lose the state championship, even if I had to pull a hamstring. That wouldn't be easy, though. True to his word and calculation, Samuels made up 50 meters in 1 lap to push his relay team into 3rd place and secure Vance's first 4A boys track state title since 2000. He had to give every ounce, Cougars coach Jupiter Wilson says. Just to see a kid have all this ability and kind of flow through stuff, it baffles you. You see everybody straining, and he looks like he's gliding out there. Indeed, it seems like it's easy being Jarrett Samuels. The 6'1" senior is not only a talented sprinter, but he's also an All-American long jumper who is being recruited by elite college track and field programs like LSU, South Carolina, and Florida State. He won indoor and outdoor state crowns in the long jump as a junior, and his leap of 24 feet 11 inches last summer was the 4th best nationally in 2010 and number 1 among underclassmen. Also a 2-time USATF Junior Olympic champ, Samuel has even made a mark on the international long jump scene. But if you ask some of his coaches, there was a time when they weren't so sure he had the work ethic to develop into this type of multi-talented phenom. Samuels is the kind of athlete who can show up 10 minutes before a meet with his kicks untied, stretch a little bit, and still beat the field handily. Not that he has ever had that casual, but Samuels used to occasionally rely on his natural athleticism a bit too much. I knew Jarrett could jump, but he was a little lazy and didn't put too much work in it at first, says Vance assistant coach Tondra White. That all turned around when he decided he wanted to go to Italy. The thought of competing against the world's best at the 2009 IAAF World Youth Championships sparked a fire in Samuels that motivated him throughout his sophomore campaign. His attitude changed, White recalls. He didn't lay around as much, and he took everything seriously. It was obvious to everybody, and when people saw him get serious, they did the same thing. The leader in him had arrived. Buoyed by a mark of 23 by 10.25 in the long jump at the 2009 United States World Youth Trials, Samuels realized his dream when he was named to the American team that traveled to the U-17 competition in Bressanone, Italy. I know some people see me joking around a lot and think I don't care, Samuels says. I just like to have fun, and I take it all seriously. When I made that goal to go to Italy, and it happened, it really showed me what I could do. Samuels placed sixth at the international event with a jump of 24.175 despite fouling on his final three jumps. That's what really made me say, wow, says his brother, Joseph Samuels, the second who runs track at East Carolina. We're looking at the top marks on the IAAF website, and Jarrett's right up there with the best juniors in the world. He's a special athlete. So special that Coach Wilson couldn't afford to let Samuels simply stick to his first love of long jump. At last winter's 4A indoor state meet, Samuels won the 300 in addition to taking the long jump crown. A few months later, at the outdoor state meet, he won the 400 and the long jump before anchoring the 4x4 relay team to its critical third place finish. Recently, I heard him say that he wants to be the best, Joseph says. I don't think I've heard him say that before. Because he hasn't really had to work at that. But now that he's going against the best in the country and the world, you can see and hear his determination. For Jarrett, his approach is simple. I try to get a personal record every time I go out there. And a glance at his career results shows he's not lying. Samuels became the two-time defending long jump champion at the USATF Junior Olympics this past summer by leaping 24.4 feet, just days after setting his personal record with a leap of 24.11 at the Russell Blunt Invitational in Durham. All that success has made Samuels even more ambitious as a senior. Along with adding to his tally of long jump national championships, he hopes to earn All-American honors in the 200 and 4x4 relay while pushing the Cougars to an indoor state title. The people before me are the ones who motivate me, like the Dwight Phillipses and Mike Powell, says Samuels of the 2004 Olympic gold medalist and the world record holder, respectively. I'm always shooting to be better than they are. That's probably why you won't ever catch Samuels panicking. He leaves that for his opponents. And Jarrett's favorites, and has a picture here. You see everybody's training, and he looks like he's gliding. And a picture of Jarrett just about to take off on the track. But his favorites, his favorite movie, The Wood, his favorite athlete, Kobe Bryant, his sneaker, Vans, clothing line, Ralph Lauren, video game, NBA 2K11, and his car, BMW 6 Series. Next article, Rise Above, pages 30 through 32. Less than a year ago, Nick Narcissi was diagnosed with cancer. This fall, he was wreaking havoc on the football field. Here's a picture of Nick, like he's in the locker room with just his socks on and not fully padded. Nick Narcissi figured he could treat it like any other bump or bruise he'd had during his many years on the football field. Just throw some ice on it and forget it's there. That toughness allowed Nick to start at defensive end as a sophomore when he recorded 8 sacks to lead KD, K, Katy, Texas, to the Class 5A Division II title in 2008, and also led to scholarship offers from Baylor and Houston following his junior season. But the knot forming on his neck last February wouldn't go away. It kept getting bigger, and after it swelled to the size of a baseball, the team trainer told Nick that he needed to see a doctor. A biopsy revealed his worst nightmare. Nick was pitted against the one opponent that wasn't supposed to pick on people his age, cancer. Once you hear cancer at such a young age, you can't help but think your life is over, Nick says. I thought about never playing football again, too. That hurt, because I'd been around football my whole life. Thankfully, the cancer, a form of throat cancer, known as nasopharyngeal carcinoma, hadn't spread and was treatable. But it was hard for Nick to see past the 9 weeks of chemotherapy, the 5 weeks of radiation treatment, and the reality of not playing football. That didn't stop him from fighting, though. The day after he found out, he had his dad take him to school so he could share the news with his team. Katy coach Gary Joseph says, I was proud of him for that and glad he wanted to have us as a support group. And Nick would need every bit of support during his intense treatment. He dropped 40 pounds from his playing weight of 210, and the beloved dread that he had grown for so long began to fall out, leading him to shave his head. He would sometimes have problems walking and talking, says his father, Linwood. He would say, Dad, my life is over. My whole career, everything. But me and his mother kept telling him that God is going to get him through this thing. The breakthrough came on August 10th, when doctors declared Nick cancer-free, paving the way for his comeback to the football field. This wasn't a matter of just strapping the pad on back on and jumping into action, though. Nick was considerably weakened and unsure of his role after sitting out the season's first two games. I started working out again in late August, but when I saw them playing well without me, I didn't know what to think, says Nick, who currently weighs about 190 pounds. I just had to keep working hard, though, because I said I'd be back for the Beaumont-Texas game. Sure enough, less than 7 months after his cancer diagnosis, Nick was back under the Friday night lights for the September 18th road matchup with the Bruins. When Nick entered the game midway through the second quarter, the entire Katy section stood on its feet and chanted his name. On his third series, Nick sacked the quarterback while forcing and recovering a fumble all in one play. The whole stadium erupted. His teammates went crazy, and we were in tears in the stands, Linwood says. It was just incredible to see him back out there making plays. But as Nick prepares to graduate in June with hopes of playing Division I football, perhaps taking the junior college route, he knows he'll never make a bigger play than tackling cancer. You just got to enjoy life, because something could take it away at any time. It almost happened to me. Nick says, and I know losing my hair was a big thing for me, but I figure it'll grow back. I'd rather have my life than my hair. And it has a picture. On December 1st, ESPN kicks off its annual Jimmy V Week to raise money for cancer research. For more inspiring stories of high school athletes overcoming cancer, head to ESPNRise.com/Jimmy V. And for more information on the V Foundation for Cancer Research, visit www.jimmyv.org or call 1-800-4-JIMMY-V. And it has a picture here of the young man, Nick, with his football uniform on and in his regular clothes. And now let's go to Think and Grin from Boy's Life. Robert, what do you get if you cross a pig and a frog? Jack, beats me. Robert, a hamphibian. That's from Robert Sickler in Weedsport, New York. Alex, where did our first president keep his mice? Will, tell me. Alex, Mount Vernon. That's from Joshua Reynolds in Birmingham, Alabama. A Book Never Written. A Marine Biologist's Office by D'Ocean. Michael Sussman in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Luke, why did the bee go see the doctor? Jake, I give up. Luke, it had hives. That's from Jalen Perry in Ama, Louisiana. Adam, What is your dog's favorite breakfast?
Ben, I haven't a clue.
Adam, poached eggs. That from Adam Pitsitowski in Wayne, New Jersey. A Book Never Written. How to Eat an Oreo by Duncan Glass. That's from Kimber Tadlock in Camas, Washington. Daniel, what do you get when you cross a Texas city with a mean Harry Potter character?
Joel, beats me.
Daniel, Wacko Malfoy. That's from Daniel Grad in St. Louis, Missouri. Eric, knock, knock.
Brett, who's there?
Eric, owl.
Brett, owl who?
Eric, I will tell you after I finish this boy's life joke. That's from Eric Hillmeyer in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Carl, where does a turtle go when it's raining?
Jimmy, tell me.
Carl, a shelter. And that's from Stephen Troll in Charlotte, North Carolina. Tim, what's a truck full of bison?
Dan, I don't know.
Tim, a buffaloed. From Charles Dalmit in Jackson, Tennessee. Daffynition, pigment, a pork-flavored breath freshener. That's from Aaron Carr in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Tom Swifty. The magician sawed me in half, Tom said intuitively. Daniel Young in Warren, Ohio. A Book Never Written. Outdoor Necessities by Carrie A. Hatchett. From Nick Barker in Brennan, Georgia. Adam, what do you get when you cross a volcano and a light bulb?
Ryan, I don't know.
Adam, a lava lamp. That from Adam Ross in Cannonsburg, Pennsylvania. Bob, what did the conductor say when asked to play the Messiah?
Rob, I haven't a clue.
Bob, I don't think my orchestra can handle it. From Jake Weldon in Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. A Book Never Written, Just a Taste by Sam Poole. From Gay Geyser in Downers Grove, Illinois.
Brent, why did the man bang his camera with the skillet?
Hunter, tell me.
Brent, he wanted a panoramic view. From Brent Dyer in Ottawa, Tennessee.
A Book Never Written. Condiments by Mayonnaise. From Lucas Kaczynski in Roanoke, Virginia. Definition. Lunatic. A parasite from the moon. And that's from Jason Diggs in Covington, Louisiana. Definition, outrank. To smell worse than the other guy. From David Ross in Orleans, Indiana. One day a Cub Scout visited a farm. When he got home, he told his parents all about it.
I even saw a man who builds horses, he said.
Are you sure? His mom asked.
Yes, the Cub Scout said. He was just nailing on the feet when I got there.
That's from Daniel Weavag in Bethany, Connecticut.
Zeke, why did the lifeguard kick the elephants out of the swimming pool?
Kyle, I haven't a clue.
Zeke, because they couldn't keep their trunks up.
That's from Adam Cater in Walcott, Connecticut.
Caleb, why did the bowling pin stop working?
Mike, I haven't a clue.
Caleb, they went on strike. From Caleb Whitkey in Duluth, Minnesota.
Daniel, how can you tell when a clock is mad?
Derek, beats me.
Daniel, it will have a ticked-off look on its face.
From Daniel Garcia in Azusa, California.
A Book Never Written, Boy's Life and More, by Maggie Zine.
Well, we've run out of time for today's reading. I am John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and readily available as podcast after the broadcast. We hope you've enjoyed today's reading. So long, until next time.